The Chronicles of Dragon, War in the Winds, Book 9, Volume 9, Chapter 1. It was evening. A stiff breeze billowed the curtains inside Selene's chamber room, inside the highest tower of Narnum, the Free City. Alone, Nath sat on her throne, long returned to his human form. He blew a ball of fire, the size of an apple, into his dragon-scaled palm. After tossing the red-orange ball high in the air, one hand to the other for a few moments, he blew another ball of fire, followed by another and another, and began to juggle the four of them with ease. Eyes wide and with exhilaration fueling his veins, he said,
"I'm amazing, simply amazing."
The great doors popped open. Selene came in alone. She wore a grand sleeveless white gown with symbols of Barnabas woven into it. Her arms were scaled the same as his, and she no longer wore the crown of silver leaves. Instead, her raven hair cascaded unadorned down past her shoulders. She approached with a sensuous walk and a beguiling smile on her face.
"My prince has great mastery of his flames, I see,"
she said, stopping at the bottom of the dais.
"It pleases me to see it."
Nath let the fireballs drop and extinguish on the floor.
"I have you to thank for that,"
he said, rising from her throne.
"Please, have your seat."
"No, you sit. I am comfortable with you in my chair. After all, we are both dragons."
"Then maybe we should get another chair,"
he said, smiling and brushing his red hair over his shoulders.
"I like the way you think,"
she said, rising up the stairs to him and giving him a brief embrace. She kissed his cheek.
"I like it very much."
"Great dragons think alike,"
he said, smiling at her.
"Indeed,"
she said, sitting down. The droucher flew in from the balcony, followed by the feline Fury. The winged dragon cat prowled up the steps and nuzzled Nath. He stroked it behind the eyes and horns. Its purring was that of a coming storm. He and the Fury were on good terms now. Much had happened since Selene coerced him into his dragon form. His life changed forever. Nath went down the steps, took a seat at the great table, and dug into the abundance of food.
"I could eat a herd,"
he said, biting off a hunk of turkey leg. He almost always felt hungry. Selene said she'd teach him to control it. She'd been patient with him so far, saying the most difficult test wasn't becoming a dragon, but resuming and maintaining the form of a man. After he turned, he flew hours. It took Selene hours to coach him down. It took another week to teach him how to turn back into a man again. At first he didn't understand the need, but Selene said it was important to earn the trust of people. But more importantly, he needed to master his powers.
"When do we fly again, Selene?"
he said.
"Soon,"
she said, tapping her fingertips together.
"I just have a few more matters to attend to, and then open the skies it is."
"You said that last week."
"Oh, Nath, don't think like a person. A week is but a second for a dragon."
That was another agonizing step in his training. Patience. He'd been in the company of people most of his life. He was accustomed to moving at their pace. Selene was persistent in slowing him down and often suggested that he sleep. It made sense. There were plenty of dragons he'd known that slept years at a time. In some cases, decades. Even he'd done that once already. 25 years gone. If he slept too long, it was possible he'd awake with the truce gone. At that point, for all he knew, the world would come to an end. His thoughts drifted to his friends. He missed them.
"I hope they're all right."
"Selene,"
he said,
"I'm ready to fly again now."
"Oh,"
she said, touching her hand to her chest. She gestured to the balcony.
"Then by all means transform and go."
Nath dropped the turkey leg on the table.
where it landed on the gold plate with a clank. His red brows crinkled. He'd only been in dragon form once, and hadn't been about to resume it since. His eyes narrowed on Celine. Had she tricked him into becoming a man again so that she could control him? Did she fear his power in full form? Was he a threat to her?
"You're too old to pout, Nath,"
she said, checking her nails.
"You know you can turn into a dragon, but you're going to have to do it under your own power, your own motivation, not mine. It's your body. You must control it."
"And you said you'd teach me how to control it. But you've been very quiet about it. If I didn't know better, I'd say you were avoiding it."
"And why would I do that?"
That's what I'm wondering," he shrugged. "And there could be many reasons."
"Such as?"
"Fear," he said.
"Of what?"
"Not being able to control me."
"I'm not controlling you now,"
she said.
"You decided to take the truce to spare your friends, and you were doing well to honor that. Other than that, you have complete freedom, do you not?"
She came down the steps and stood behind him, resting her hands on his shoulders.
"A city full of people chant your name. Dragon,"
she whispered.
"Dragon. Dragon. The peacekeeper. The truce bringer. Long before the truce ends, there will be no talk of war at all. The councils of men, elves, dwarfs, orc, and gnolls bring greetings and salutations to one another."
She rubbed his shoulders deeply. He could feel the power of her grip through his scales. He leaned back into her and closed his eyes. Her voice was so enchanting and soothing.
"That's about it, Nath. The last dragon war, what if it never happens?"
"I never thought about that," he mumbled.
"But I have,"
she said.
"No one would die in a war that never happened. Together, we can bring peace to the land."
"As I understand it, I don't think Gorn Gratik would want that." He twisted his neck towards her. "Are you turning traitor?"
"I cannot say,"
she said, still rubbing.
"But being with you, Nath, I've begun to think about things differently."
"Differently? How?"
"I've always served Gorn, being loyal, faithful. I've been one of his own. But through you, I've glimpsed a side of things I've never seen before. You have friends you care about. I have never had any of those. In all truth, after centuries of life, I think you are the closest thing I have to a friend."
"Friend?" he said. "Well, if you want to be my friend, you're going to have to take me out to fly." She shoved his head and laughed.
"I open my heart to you, and this is how you respond?"
He shrugged and said, "I don't think you have a heart. Just a beating lump of coal." Her chuckle was wicked and delicious as she strode towards the balcony. Her tail was gone, and she was mainly in the form of a sensuous woman. She was something, an awesome kind of something. Standing with her back to the terrace wall, she said to him,
"Watch and learn, Dragon Prince."
Her lips moved, and the words were soft and quiet. It was an ancient form of dragonese. Celine spoke many such things, and Nath was beginning to pick up on it. Her body shuddered, and her flesh groaned. Two black shapes heaved up behind her back and began to spread out. Nath's eyes shone like golden moons. Dragon wings. What a beautiful wide span. Everything else about Celine's form was the same. She pushed herself up onto the wide ledge of the balcony and showed an enticing smile.
"You can join me,"
she said, stretching out her hand.
"Come and join me right now."
Nath hesitated, angry, jealous, confused.
"You can do this, Nath,"
she said.
"Just focus. Envision it. Think dragon."
He closed his eyes.
"If she can do it, I can."
He felt a glimmer of dragon magic within. Calm, dormant. Dragons had powers that no others had. Great mystic powers. Breath, spells, many little things. Nat's mind probed deep within, and he tried to take command of his powers.
Obey me.
Nothing stirred without or within. His eyes opened. Celine was there, beckoning for him.
Come,
she said.
I will take you elsewhere and teach you.
I should be able to do this myself.
True,
she said. She battered her wings and began to hover in the air.
But it even took me a long time to learn it. Remember, Nath, be patient. Dragons should always be patient.
He sauntered over to her, long in the face.
Come,
she said, landing on the balcony.
We all fly here. Me, the Fury, the Drulcher, and soon you will as well. Now climb up here and stand by me.
He did. Peering down into the dark streets below, he could see the lanterns glowing, making a grid through the streets. Celine clasped an arm behind his waist and spoke into his ear.
Have you forgotten the exhilaration of flying so soon? It is within you. Don't you want to do it again, like us? Like even the Drakus?
She squeezed him.
Surely they are no better than you.
Her wings stirred in the air, and his feet lifted from the ledge.
There is nothing that I can do that you cannot do, Dragon Prince.
Nath needed to believe that, but he was having his doubts.
What about the words you speak? He said. I need to know them.
No, you just need to find those words within.
But,
she said, soaring far from the edge,
if you think it will help, then repeat after me.
He nodded. She spoke in Dragonese once again.
I, Nath Dragon, do solemnly swear,
she started.
I, Nath Dragon, do solemnly swear
that I will grow my wings.
That I will grow my wings
before I hit.
Before I hit
the ground down there.
The ground down what?
Celine released him with a cackle. Claws clutching, Nath plunged 1,000 feet toward his death.